Amazon holds the records for being the fastest company to go from zero to a billion in Australia. $1.7 million was the lifetime sales, and now we're about to hit $4 million, and that was 10 months ago.
What's unique about it, doing from a woman's point of view, and also what you're doing today with educating others?
Yeah, perfect. So to begin with,
Veronica Poniatowski is a former physiotherapist who transitioned from running her own studio to building a multi-million dollar Amazon FBA business.
Now, she enjoys the freedom to travel while teaching others her exact strategies for success.
By 25, I was like, what do I do now? Am I supposed to do the exact same thing for the next 50 years now? People's expectations of what can be achieved and how quickly they can be achieved are skewed, because I think there's a lot of dishonesty, unfortunately.
Family don't speak for years because business gets in the way. So how do you guys actually communicate when you guys come to a disagreement?
Yes, that's a great question. And I do...
What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. Today, we are very fortunate to have a female entrepreneur in the studio with us. We know you guys love it when we get a lady here. Women bring a different vibe, a different perspective, and just a whole different energy to the pod and to business. In this one, we are joined by Veronica Poniatowski. I know I've messed that up again. She is a young entrepreneur who runs a business with her husband and her brother, and they sell products on Amazon. And specifically, they teach others now how to sell products on Amazon in Australia. They've got a business that in the last month or so has done hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales. It's only 2 years old. It's on track for $4 million in sales. It's just pumping. She tells a story of how she got into this business, how they run the business as a dynamic between having a husband and a brother, and how they work as a team. They talk about the opportunity, how to find products, where they source them, how Amazon FBA works, and so much more. It's been really good to check in with these guys, because we haven't heard or had anyone on from Amazon for quite a while. We've been focused really on Shopify, but what's happening in Amazon Australia particularly is quite extraordinary. Some of the numbers just got me thinking, holy smokes, this is remarkable. So guys, if you are looking for a business that you can travel the world, do something that you love, this is the pod. Veronica has spent 12 of the last 24 months on the road while building a multi-million dollar business. With that said, see you on the other side. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. We are in for a treat today. We have yet another female entrepreneur, which we are super excited about. We love having ladies on the show. And today we have Veronica Poniatowski.
You got it.
Close?
Yeah. No, it's quite good. Yeah.
I didn't butcher it too much. Welcome to the show.
Poniatowski.
There you go. The way you sound when you say it sounds very Euro.
No, the full name is Veronika Katarinka Poniatowska. So at least I didn't get you to say that.
Wow. And so what is that name? Is it Polish or?
Polish or Polish. Both of my parents are from Polish. So
yeah.
Proud Poles we are.
Yeah, the Poles, you know, they are good people, hardworking.
Most definitely.
Yeah. My ex-business partner, Joe, was Polish, of course, and he is famous for his insane work ethic. I've never met a lazy Pole in my life.
Yeah.
Just something in the blood. And, of course, we had your brother on the show, Eric, who was a hit as well. So we're really looking forward to diving in and learning about what you guys have been up to and hear it from a female perspective. You know, I think it's going to be terrific to dive in. Before I do, I'll welcome our trusty co-founder, co-host, half of that's true, Eric.
How are you?
Good. How are you, man?
Yeah, good. Just I've been tracking you guys. Obviously, I follow Eric on Instagram and been seeing your worldly travels and have a little bit of FOMO, definitely a lot of FOMO, actually, from some of the places that you guys have been. Eric's in the studio having a listen to this as well, so looks like you guys are enjoying your life at the moment and in this world of entrepreneurship and having a bit of freedom around that location, I guess. So it's going to be good to unpack this.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, our number one goal, or at least for me, was my goal of having online business. I wanted to travel. I wanted to travel and make more money to begin with, and then make more of it. And literally the last 2 years, 2 years ago, we sold everything. 12 months over the last 24 months, we've been overseas. So it's been incredible.
And so who's we? It's you and your brother, right? You and your husband. And has Eric been traveling too, or just?
Yes. Yeah, so, no, we are the three amigos. We are the A team. That's who we are. So yes, my husband, Chris, and my brother, Eric. We're business partners. We've lived together And we've traveled together as well, so we've done everything.
Geez, third wheeling much over there, Eric, or what? yeah, so look, this is something that I think is going to be really interesting to so many listeners. And this is what I love about having young people on the pod who are entrepreneurs. You are really showing us a different way of doing things. So people watching are probably wondering, what is it that you actually do? What has enabled you with your husband and your brother to travel the world for 12 months out of the last 24 and build and run a multi-million dollar business? So give us the headline and then we're going to dive into the story a bit. And then we'll hear about it. What's unique about it doing from a woman's point of view and also what you're doing today with educating others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. So to begin with, the vehicle that has enabled this amazing lifestyle that I am about, what I'm leading right now, is Amazon FBA. And Amazon FBA, for those of you who don't know what that is, Amazon FBA stands for Fulfilled by Amazon. And what that is, it is a business model where third parties like myself or other sellers, you, if you're interested in it, you can use Amazon's platform. So I'm referring to amazon.com.au to sell products. And what you're doing is you're leveraging Amazon's reputation, its platform, and its logistics to sell your product. So all you need to do is find a product, send that product into Amazon warehouses, and Amazon takes care of all the logistics. So I'm talking about that a customer goes to Amazon, buys your product, so is looking for your product, buys your product, and Amazon picks it, packs it, and ships it to your customer. You don't have to be involved in that process at all. So that's the vehicle that has enabled us to travel like we have.
It sounds so familiar to me. I don't know where I've heard about this Amazon FBA model before. So that's amazing. And it's great that you mentioned Australia, because when I started on Amazon back in 2011, there was no Amazon Australia, and it didn't really arrive to Amazon Australia till much, much later. But let's talk a little bit about your particular business and where you're at today. So did you start that business on Amazon, or did you start it on Shopify? What was the journey and what is the business that you're selling now?
So maybe I can rewind and give you a little bit of context of how we got there. So I was actually a physiotherapist for 8 years, and I'm not even quite sure if you guys knew that. So I was all about health and fitness, and I absolutely loved my career in that. It was exactly what I wanted to do. I had a studio inside a gym and I loved it. But as I said, as time went on, I was like, wait a second, if I'm not seeing a client, a patient, I'm not making any money. And that's number one. I'm kind of capped at that. So I can't really make any more money unless I start charging more or seeing more people. And I want to travel. And because most of my physio work was commission-based or my own business, I'm like, well, this is, you know, I'm not getting paid leave. I'm not paying myself paid leave. Like, what can I do? So that's when my journey into investigating what is available online started. And you know, network marketing, drop shipping, you know, the Lambo Bros came up. And then, you know, then Amazon FBA came up. And, you know, if I fast forward since that time, now we have Prodigy X. Prodigy X is an Amazon specific brand. We are on Shopify, but it's about 5%, but it is an Amazon FBA brand, and we are in health and wellness. We specialize in biohacking. That is our brand.
Right.
And right now, actually, if I give you a fun fact, Adam, since Eric was on, $1.7 million was the lifetime sales, and now we're about to hit $4 million, and that was 10 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what does that translate? $4 million in lifetime sales. How long have you been there?
We started in February 2023, so we're not even 2 yet.
Wow. And you're about to hit 4 million principally on Amazon. Is that Amazon Australia and US or Australia only? Or
no, that is our global sales. So now we have expanded into, so we sell on Australia, US, Canada, and we've just gone into Germany as well.
Incredible. So at the heart, when you say biohacking, I assume you've got some core products and then you've got some bolt-on products. Can you just give us a little bit of an idea of the products that you sell?
Yeah, so we have 7 products under the brand of Prodigy X. Our core, our first hero product, if you like, was our ice bath. So our ice bath, and then we were like, okay, let's give people a more premium ice bath at home experience. So we did a bigger ice bath, and then we started accessory products. So we had the ice trays, water chiller, and then in June we launched our second hero product, which was our hydrogen water bottle. So they've been flying off the shelves. That's been fantastic. And just recently we launched our mouth tape and nose tape.
Wow. All on Amazon.
All on Amazon.
That's incredible.
And all of them we do sell on Amazon Australia.
Right. So how has that journey been for Amazon Australia? Like, what's the opportunity there? When I was sort of finishing up my time as an Amazon educator, I was saying to people, I think the best opportunity at the door right now is Amazon Australia, because I saw the growth of Amazon America. And then some students took that on and said, I'm going to give that a crack. And those people seem to have done really well, especially in big categories. What's been your experience? What are you seeing?
I have to say that I cannot even be more clear. I want to be so loud about it. We love Amazon Australia. So as I said, we sell on US, in Canada, in Germany, and we call Amazon Australia the golden retriever of the marketplaces. It's just so nice. It's so calm. Like, there's no one trying to do not nice things to your listing. Like, it's just a completely different experience. Well, that's the first thing, but the growth here is absolutely mind-boggling. And I'm not quite sure why even people in the Amazon space, why they're not talking about it more. They kind of skip ahead, or Amazon Australia is small, US is big, but the growth here has been like unbelievable. And if I throw you some stats, so I read that in 2022, Amazon Australia's revenue was $1.7 billion. And then in 2023, it was $3.1 billion. So it doubled in a year. Like, the growth is just like going like this. So the demand is just going through the roof. But if you go on there and see the competition, firstly, there's not much competition there. And the competition, who is there? Like, they don't really know what you're doing. So if you know what you're doing, like we are, or if you're, you know, following steps like we teach inside our academy, you can just like rank so much easier, so much faster. You're getting that real estate, getting those reviews, and your Amazon advertising. So PPC, it's significantly lower in Australia versus US. It's great.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember when they launched, and I think their first year they did just a few million dollars. I think it might have been $2 million. I mean, they very, very first launched.
They finished with 17 million and
Year
one.
17 million, yeah. And they were laughing at everyone. And I said, it's going to be a $1 billion company within 5 years in Australia. And everyone laughed. And sure enough, there they are on their way to three.
That's right. So Amazon holds the records for being the fastest company to go from zero to a billion in Australia in history.
Wow.
So it's like, it's not something to be like, oh, brush over.
But what's interesting is that it's growing at 100% CAGR as a $1 billion company in Australia.
Yeah.
Which is nuts when you think about that, right? Like, most businesses sort of, when they get a few hundred million in this country, start slowing down their growth rate. So it just shows how powerful that ecosystem is.
Yeah, that's right. And it's also like the effect that it's having on our culture and how Australians consume is like mind-boggling as well. In terms of, so like, if you think about e-commerce or retail in Australia right now, who do you think of? You think of eBay, you think of Maya, you think of David Jones. Whereas right now, Amazon has surpassed all of them.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
So for the people who've never really heard of Amazon FBA before, and okay, you're selling ice bars under the name Prodigy X. How did you come up with the idea? How are you sourcing the products? Where are they stored? Like, walk us through the business model that you guys have clearly mastered here.
Yeah, so I want to maybe point out like the two biggest reasons that we love Amazon FBA and that makes it a completely different business model as opposed to the other e-com models is like two things. Customers are coming to us. So what we need to do is we need to find what customers are looking for. So we're looking at the demand, right? So that's number one. We're not spending money on ads or Facebook ads or anything like that. And Amazon does all the logistics. So it's storing your products, it's picking and packing and shipping your products. So those are the two elements of like, we don't have to worry about that. So when it comes to actually finding a product to sell on Amazon, we look at three things, and we actually, this is what we actually teach inside of our academy as well, because, you know, these are the lessons that we learned inside Prodigy X, and we've called it this our passion to profit formula. So when you're going to sell a product on Amazon, you need to find that product. Usually people go, how do I find a product? What am I looking for? Like, do I just sell a drink bottle because I like the drink bottle? And there is a science, there is an art behind that. So we call it our passion to profit formula. And the first thing being is that you find a product that you like. So ice bath was perfect for us because we're all health enthusiasts, if you like. And the story of what actually how that happened was like Eric was looking for an ice bath to set up at home. He went on Amazon and what he found is like no one's selling ice baths. Like what's happening here? But what he did find was that there was demand. So that's the second element that you need to look at. I've got a product that I like, that I'm passionate about, that I understand. Now let's look at the demand. And when I talk about demand, it means how many people are going onto Amazon looking for this product and actually purchasing it. So we found there is a lot of demand for this. Let's freaking go. Like,
how do you find that out?
So we look at specific data points. When I'm referring to data, I'm talking about numbers. And what numbers you look at depends on what question you want to answer. So for the question of, are customers coming on Amazon to buy this product? We're particularly looking at two data points, that's search volume, so how many people are riding an ice bath. And the second data point is revenue. How much revenue are my competitors making in the last 30 days for this product?
And so software that you're using, like ZonGuru or Jungle Scout or something, what are you using?
We use ZonGuru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you use ZonGuru. You search in there, look for, and that gives you all of that data so you can establish demand before you tip your toe in and go from there. So, okay, so you found demand, you find a product that you like. How did you get your product? Like, how did you get these ice baths? Where are they from? What was the process of, I mean, I assume you've never ordered ice baths in bulk before. Where do you find a supplier? How do you make sure you don't get screwed over or buy faulty products or whatever?
Yeah. So with our suppliers, we every time for all our products that we've ever launched, we go straight to Alibaba. For those of you who don't know what Alibaba is, it's a platform where all suppliers live. So it's like you can go shopping for suppliers there. Any product that you want to purchase in bulk, you can basically go onto there as a search engine. I write in ice bath. All the suppliers that offer that product are there. And, you know, we sift through those. Alibaba is a very trustworthy website. It's the biggest, you know, market for that for suppliers, I guess. And they do have a vetting. So they verified suppliers, and inside our academy, again, we teach you how exactly to look for a supplier. And obviously starting conversations, my one tip for anyone who has started talking to suppliers, always get a sample. Never trust the photos or what they give you, the videos. Always get a sample and a quality control inspection, number two. But that's where we find our products, and that's the process of getting that.
Yeah, interesting. I had a friend who ordered some ties from China once, like neck ties, you know, men's ties, and he cut them and it was like this long, like 4 inches long. He couldn't tell in the photos. It must have been made for the Oompa Loompa factory, because it certainly wouldn't have worked on the average Aussie. So you jump on Alibaba, you put in ice baths, you start sorting them out based on their photos and their factory descriptions and all that sort of stuff, and then you request a sample to come over, and then based on the samples, you sort of choose a supplier from there.
Yeah.
Eric, you had any question there?
Just with the design phase, right? So obviously anyone can just jump on Alibaba and, you know, they've got 10 of the same products. So how did you design a new product? Did you change it a little bit? Or what was the point of differentiation at that time?
At this time. So for ice bath, the point of differentiation was the fact that, or specifically on Amazon Australia, no one was offering an ice bath that I'm going to say was cool, like what we were looking for. So we're young people, we're athletes. Like, you win ice bath, you're thinking about biohacking. You want to be like the strongest, fittest, you know, 1%er you can be. There was no one doing it. If you went on Amazon at that time, there were small ice baths usually, and they were pink and blue and had love hearts on it. And it was like the kind of Chinese marketing. And you're like, what is this?
With the person photoshopped in.
Exactly. And the person is like four times bigger than what it is. So what it was, our point of differentiation was our brand. And that's actually our third aspect of our passion to profit formula, is creating a sexy brand. And Eric Thright, that's his department, that's what he does for our business, and he thrived in that. And the reason that, if you go back to, if you find a product that you're passionate about, you're the avatar. So you're like, we looked at the ice bath and we're like, yeah, that's cool, I want that.
Put a hot athlete sitting in the hot ice bath instead of a Photoshop Chinese person.
Exactly. You know, we made it Black Prodigy X sounds cool. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not bath, but ice baths are us. Like Prodigy X, you know, this goes into different principles of why we chose that as well, and we can talk about that later. But yeah, we were the avatar, so we knew what the customer wanted. And, you know, that in the first 30 days, that product made 120 grand and we sold out.
So it's not just data, right? So there's data which establishes demand, but then you're looking at the actual marketplace for that product on Amazon, you're looking at the other sellers. And if you see these sort of like really poorly branded, poorly marketed niches where there's very low sophisticated branding done, that in itself can be a huge advantage. And so if for the listeners, if you want to go check out Prodigy X so you can see what we're talking about, what's the domain for Prodigy X?
Is it prodigyx.com.au. So we have it on Shopify. Or if you go into, you know, look up Sizebarf or go to Amazon, you know, we're there, we're thriving.
Yeah. Just don't click on one of the paid ads, please.
Yeah, if you go like under the sponsored ones, Chris will appreciate that.
Yeah, you can look for the natural result. But also you can look them up on Instagram. You've got a really cool Instagram account as well, Prodigy X.
Prodigy X Gear.
Prodigy X Gear. These guys do such a killer job on that front. Like it's hard to appreciate till you actually see it. And it's the brand looks sexy. The logo looks great. The photos are awesome. And so you found this niche. You found a supply. You've put this really sexy branding around it. Great photography. And $120,000 in your first month on Amazon America, I'm assuming. Wowzers. That's pretty cool.
You mentioned that Eric's wheelhouse is the design side. And off camera, you mentioned that you work together with Eric, who's your brother, and also your husband, Chris. So there's three of you. So how do you set those expectations around what Eric does, what you do, what your husband does? So if Eric's the design guy, what do you do day to day in the business, and how do you guys manage those roles?
I love that. I mean, obviously working with family, not for everyone, definitely not. But for us, like, it is my favorite. Like, it's amazing. I wouldn't have it any other way. And we call ourselves the A-team because we are the A-team. And where I think our businesses, plural, have been, you know, successful and will continue to thrive because of our team. I think that's super important. And I do think that as a family unit, the reason our team works so well is based on two things. And the first one being is that we're three very different people, but we all complement each other. So obviously no one's stepping on each other's toes. We all complement each other, and I will go through the tasks that we do. And then secondly, we all have the same morals, the same vision, the same goals. Like, we're all sitting next to each other, like we are here, and we're all looking in the same direction going forward. So, you know, if anyone is on the, you know, a different page, it wouldn't work. So the fact that we have those two things really makes our team thrive. Within our business, as you said, Eric is very much the front end guy. So he's a visionary. He loves all the product development side of things. Our listings, our A+ content, all that's Eric. We don't outsource that. Like, that's where he really thrives. So all of that is Eric, and he also does the negotiations with suppliers. Whereas Chris, he's very much back end, so nitty gritty stuff. He's our PPC guru, very much involved in all the inventory management. So that's Chris. So we've got a visionary, which is my brother, the nitty gritty with Chris. Where I come in is I come in the middle, and I kind of glue those two aspects together. So when it comes to business strategy, we've got these visions, we've got these details. How do we mush that together so we can actually move forward as a business? So that's number one. And then following that, I do the email marketing, I do the influencer marketing, and then I also work on all our review strategies. So all the review strategies, you know, 5 stars, all the photos, that's very much done on purpose. And that's where I kind of sit in our business.
Right. So you're the musher.
I'm the musher. I bring them together. I'm a musher.
I love it. I haven't heard that word in so long. I love that.
It's so good to see the passion and the excitement and the smiling, you know, behind what you're saying with working with family and how excited you guys are and working together, because I've seen it so many other times where it just is a disaster and family don't speak for years, you know, because business gets in the way. But I can see that you guys really have the same vision and putting the business first. And I guess, how do you guys communicate with each other though? Like, even with business partners, like, I think moving forward, there's going to be more and more collaboration with people, right? And in creating partnerships in different types of business and property and different things. So how do you guys communicate with each other when you guys do have disagreements? Because this is a big thing. And I've been asked this a lot over the years, going like, how do you do it? How do you manage multiple business partners and multiple businesses and different types of personalities? And I think that's something that a lot of people get stuck with and actually don't move forward because they have these stories in their mind, because they have the story of their uncle that got screwed over by the brother and all this type of thing. So how do you guys actually communicate when you guys come to a disagreement?
Yes, that's a great question. And I do, communication is like one of the most important things in any relationship, business or personal. And it's definitely, or for me personally, has been a learning curve, and for all of us. And I do think that as our business has expanded and it's grown so quickly, how we communicate, like we've really had to like really get that, you know, run a tight ship and get rid of all the fluff, like no one's getting offended, no one's getting upset. I think it's actually a positive, like, you know, bit of sibling rivalry. If you tell someone to F off, that, you know, I mean, we don't do that, but like, you know, it's half an hour later, oh, do you want to go grab lunch, and you get over it. So in terms of, we're not scared to, in terms of giving feedback, and if that feedback may be negative, we're not afraid to be honest immediately, because we know that that's going to move our business forward. And that person still knows, we still know that we love each other and we've got each other's back. So like because we have that love for each other first, we know that whatever, you know, if I'm not happy with your work or we need to change directions, like, everyone's okay. You may be, you know, pissed off for 15 minutes, but we kind of move on. And we've definitely taken steps that be like, you know, when we have certain meetings, like this is a professional meeting, there's no like interpersonal topics or, you know, things that we're holding against each other that come in. This is just business. So that's, and maybe that's more on me because, you know, I'm a female. Maybe I show my emotions a little bit more in a business setting, but I also think that that's required as well. So it's definitely been like a journey, but I think that we all know that we've got each other's back. We're all on the same page. We're heading in the same direction. So if I give you some critical feedback, that feedback is because we're going in that direction together.
Now, I want to take you back a little bit to when you were a physiotherapist. So you're a physiotherapist. You mentioned that it was your dream job. You were loving it. And then where were you at that point, and what was the, what happened that you just, you know, flicked a switch and thought, you know, I want to be into, you know, e-com or Amazon at that time? And what was your husband doing, and what was Eric doing, and who's the one that actually said, hey, I've got an idea, and collaborate?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if I start with myself, when I was doing physio, as I said, it was my, like, that was what, as a, in high school, I was like, I'm going to be a physio. I'm going to have my own business. And it wasn't that I didn't, it was basically, actually it stems from growing up in an Eastern European household, raised by a single mother. The only thing that I knew that was going to make me money in the future, because that was my goal, growing up with a single mom, and I'm sure other people that grew up in a similar situation, money was always scarce, and it brought up quite a lot of negative emotions. My mom did an excellent job, but that was something that as a child, I was like, I don't know why this is so difficult. I don't think it should be. And when I'm older, I don't want to have this struggle, and I definitely don't want my children to have that. So I always had the mind frame like, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to make a lot of money. I want to be rich. I don't care, like, whatever you got to say about it, I want to be filthy rich, okay? That's the goal. So that was something that I had. So going, but the only way that I knew or that I was exposed to was like, I need to get an education. I need to be a straight A student. I was a straight A student. I was teacher's pet, high achiever. I wasn't very, you know, people have the entrepreneur story about like, I hated school. I love school. I thrived. I was teacher's pet. Like, that was me. And then I did physiotherapy very quickly after physiotherapy. I started my studio, and I had ticked all the boxes. So like by 25, I was like, what do I do now? Like, this was my whole life. I had been going to this point, but like, am I supposed to do the exact same thing for the next 50 years now? Like, is this it in terms of my progression and my growth in life? Like, I was almost stumped because no one warned me of what I was actually supposed to do if I achieved the goals that we were supposed to achieve. And the one thing that I hadn't achieved, I wasn't filthy rich yet. I was like, wait a second. And obviously I wanted to travel. So I was like, how does that come into be? So the women that I found that was in business was network marketing. That's where I first saw people online, and like young people my age, I'm like, how are they making so much money? And they're going on all these trips. And this was like, this just completely opened my eyes into the online world, that you can make money there, and personal development as well. Like, I'm a big fan of network marketing and how it can open your mind there. And then as that kind of grew, like, you know, some aspects of network marketing, you know, weren't my jam kind of thing. And that's when the econ bros were around. And, you know, this was 2016, 17. Suddenly there's all these 21-year-old dudes on Instagram with the Lambos. I was like, what are they doing? I was like, I'm an intelligent, you know, woman. Like, why can't I achieve what they did? And like, I would admit, I did some courses and things like that. I'm just like, it's still not lining up. Like, why? What's happening there? And I think that's a different conversation. But I think expectations, people's expectations of what can be achieved and how quickly they can be achieved are skewed, because I think there's a lot of dishonesty, unfortunately. But that was happening there. But how we got onto Amazon eventually was that my mother saw Adam on YouTube and, you know, bought the course, and my brother really got into Amazon, and I was overseas I was overseas working in a hostel because I was like, I'll go and travel instead. And Eric was thriving on Amazon. And I was like, wait a second. And I remember there was a point where I was on Malfi Coast working at a hostel watching you talk about a wedding topper, Adam.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's interesting. So it's like that kind of like, that was like the beginning of my exposure to Amazon FBA and you know, that business model. And I love the fact that, you know, when there's people around you, like, our environment is so important. So when I can see Eric, you know, building a business in there and be like, oh, maybe I can do this as well. That's kind of where that all started, and how like Eric was going, you know, building that business. Chris came in. I met Chris while I was traveling, actually. So I was doing physio in France. So I was trying to combine travel and physio together. And the only other Australian there was Chris. And now we're married. So we met then. Obviously, he loved traveling as well, but he was a plumber by trade, which is obviously, you know, trading your time for money. So Chris and I had the same goals in terms of, you know, we want to live this beautiful lifestyle and traveling and things like that. But Chris isn't, like, he is probably one of the hardest workers I know. My mum and him are rivals in terms of, they are just dogs. They're just like, keep on going. Eric works hard, but he's a very much work smarter, not harder. Whereas Chris and Mum, they're just like, they're grinding. So they work really hard. And when Chris and I started to get together, we came back to Adelaide, and then Eric was working on his business. And that's when the three of us actually really started to be like, hang on a second, what's going on? And we kind of like started merging and looking into e-com.
We're working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. It's so interesting. I love the story. What challenges have you faced, like, as a woman on that journey? Because I think it is a unique journey as a woman going into business. It's less common. And have you had any particular challenges or insights that you think have worked for you or against you being a woman?
So something that I have recently been really working on and have really acknowledged is that, obviously, business is very masculine, and I'm talking about energetically speaking. And I do think that I have quite a masculine frequency or like energy, but I do think at the core that I am feminine. And I think generally speaking, as a society, like businesses, it's very masculine, it's white and black, and it's like go, go, go. And I think maybe women have I'm speaking for myself. I had a tough place. Like, I want to be part of this amazing thing that business is, but like some things, like I'm trying to, like, you know, square peg round hole type thing. And I was like, why? I don't want to like work like this. Like, something isn't working. And I do think that there's like a rise of this, like, how can the feminine be in a mess in business so we can actually thrive? And I know it's like a bit wishy-washy. I'm sorry. These are things that are sliding off me. I know that this is a little bit washy, but an actual example of this is that, if you don't know what I'm talking about in terms of energies, masculine is very logical, feminine is very emotional. Masculine is very like going in a straight line. Feminine is very, you know, fluid. So those are the differences. And what I found is, like, working with Eric and Chris, obviously they're men, they're very masculine. They get up every morning, they're hustling, like the morning is where the source is, where the magic happens. And they do that every single day. It's like rinse and repeat with them, rinse and repeat. And I get to a stage, I'm like, why can't I like keep up with what they're doing? And do I not care about the business as much? Maybe I'm not cut out for business. And then I'm like, am I not contributing to the team? And that's because
it's that time of year again, an unemployable, where we're opening up our unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period. And with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
a business, society, we work on a 24-hour clock. The 24-hour clock is based on 24-hour clock of male hormones. That's what society is based on. Women have a 28-day clock. We have a 28-day cycle. So when you guys, I was listening to your podcast with the naturopath, just talking about the coffee intake, and you guys are like, morning, I'm on, go, go, go. And that's because I think your testosterone is high at that time, so you're more productive. So all of these different things of in a male cycle, 24 days, we have something similar, but just over a 28-day period. So I could have a week where I'm like, this is my week, I'm on, like, you know, I could work, you know, all day and all night. And then there can be a week where I'm slightly removed, I don't want to talk to someone. And that can be like, oh, she's not into it. She's just, she doesn't feel like it. And I always thought, my God, I don't feel like I'm, you don't do what you feel like it's business kind of thing. And that put me, it made me feel shit about myself. I'm like, maybe this is not for me. But now I'm learning, and I haven't mastered this because I'm still very much learning, but like there are in our cycles, it's like you have a week where you are on and you feel like you can work an 80-hour week. And in that week, work that 80-hour week. And in the week where you are feeling more emotional, that you want to be more, by yourself, those are the weeks where you reflect on your business. How are we growing? What things do we have to change? So it's like matching of where our hormones are, that how can that phase of our cycle, how can that benefit the business? So it's just looking at something different. And obviously, again, I'm around men all the time. Like, this is not different to any day. I'm always with the lads. That's literally it. Like, so trying to step back and be like, that works for them, they're killing it, that's brilliant. Something else works for me, I'm still figuring that out, but I can contribute as much, if not more. I just have to figure out what my clock is.
That's actually such a fascinating subject, because I've never heard that before. Yeah. And if a book hasn't been written on that, it should be, and maybe you can write it, because that's actually a really interesting discussion. And I want to just follow up a further point. How do you find balancing being a woman in your marriage at home and then turning up at work with those roles? Because, you know, I often talk to female entrepreneurs and they get home and they realize sometimes they come home and bring some, female entrepreneurs I'm talking about, they bring home some of that hardness that they need, but then they go, shit, I don't want to be that person at home, you know, especially women who don't have the setup you've got, you know, where you're sort of a co-founder with two other people. I mean, where they're the woman, they're the boss, and there isn't that, you know, and in that environment, like it or hate it, you do need to bust balls in business sometimes, whether you're a man or a woman, and it does reward directional focus, which is not a feminine trait, right? Generally speaking. And that's not to say it's a negative, it's just a fact, right? That's how business is. So how do you have any ritual, or do you have any discussion? Like, we were just talking to a young entrepreneur this morning, a lady entrepreneur, she said, I turn to my husband and I say, all right, this is personal me now, not business me. And then that immediately disarms all frames what she's about to say. And they have this language, like a safe word for like, you know, this. Do you have anything like that to sort of make sure that you still get to be a girl without having to be all performance-based all the time?
Yeah, I actually really like that. I might borrow that from her. This is personal me. Yeah, Chris and I, it is an ongoing conversation. And I guess it is different for us because we're together like all the time. So, but now we got married in June, which was beautiful. And then our life is now before wedding, after wedding, because it's like an eternity ago. And that we have prioritized a lot that because we spend so much time together, we're just like colleagues. So we need to we go out of our way to do things by ourselves so we can have an element to, like, we need to remove ourselves, do something that, you know, maybe I go to yoga or something like that, and then come back together. And then we're like, okay, this is our personal time. So, but that goes without saying, like, sometimes at dinner, we're like, okay, we're not discussing work. Like, we just have to say that, like, bluntly, like, oh, I'm not, or usually it's just like, I don't have enough space to talk about this right now. That's it usually. So it's more so open communication and knowing that, okay, we know that, you know, we're colleagues, but we're also husband and wife. So it's open communication is probably the biggest thing. And also understand the seasons. So right now, as we're recording this today, we're in Q4, it's Black Friday sales. business is crazy. Like to leading up to this, like right now, you know, it is what it is. Everything that we've been able to do, you can't change it now. But leading up to it, we know that it's going to be a tough time. So you kind of like, not that we're putting our marriage to the side because we're always there, but we just know that we're busy. So we're having that understanding of like when this passes. So for example, when I get back to Adelaide after this, it's going to be Christmas time. Then it's more like, let's go and do activities as a couple. Like it's just seasons and being understanding of that. I don't like the word balance. There's never a balance. There needs to be a harmony. And in that harmony, the balance is constantly changing. So it's, you know, open communication is probably the thing that I can give someone else.
It's a real thing. Like my wife's super soft and very feminine. I don't know if you've met Cass, but I gave her the job. You know, I said, if you want to do something, she's like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, why don't you manage the properties? And she started managing the commercial properties and she went into the world and she's like, it took one tenant to lie to her about having cancer. Like literally one guy said he had cancer and that's why he hadn't paid his bills. And I was like, yeah, that's bullshit. And she's like, you're so heartless. How could you say that? And I'm like, I know this guy is fucking lying right now. And the guy ended up out of the building. But Cass lost all faith in humanity after going into business for a few months. And it's turned her into like a real hard ass sometimes. And sometimes she gets home from like the properties and I'm like, whoa, I need this woman. Like, honey, why don't you go have a shower and just unwind, have a bath? And then she goes back to being feminine. And it really is a hard thing because the business world can be hard, particularly for when you've got really strong emotional side. So, but I think those discussions and because ultimately we do it for our better future, which hopefully includes your spouse and all that. It's an interesting discussion.
All right, I'm going to push on with some more masculine energy because you're taking a bit of estrogen off the table here.
Honestly, hear your talk. I think there's times where I think I'm on a female clock where I'll have a week where I'm like crushing and another week I do not want to see another person.
Well, Chris and I joke now that when he feels low, he's like, are you getting a period? Because I feel like I'm getting low as well.
I feel like I'm going to just use that. I'm going to claim and say, I'm having my month. I'm in my
my week.
Because I think you girls got to sort it. I probably wouldn't mind a week on and then like a week of just off. That's actually better than like on, off.
Couple questions around funding. So one is, how did you guys fund the business from the beginning? Actually, three questions. How are you funding the business now? And how do you guys manage paying yourselves? You don't have to mention figures in regards to what you pay yourselves, but when was the point in time where it's like, okay, we're getting paid now and this is who's getting paid and this is why we're getting paid? Because I think we need to, for the audience, for the people listening, I think a lot of people have this this image in their mind of starting a business and getting paid straight away and getting paid a lot of money straight away, which could be nothing farther from the truth. So yeah, that's why I want to touch on those.
Okay. So the first question of how do we start? So when we started, it's all basically we've bootstrapped the whole way. So it's been all our own funds. And obviously Prodigy X wasn't our first business. So when we launched the ice bath, you know, we went in there being very confident that we knew what we were doing and what the market was telling us. And we were correct in that, making that decision. So we've bootstrapped the whole entire way and we've reinvested all of our profits. So, you know, yeah, reinvested all the way. And just recently going into this Q4 has been the first time that we've gotten a loan just because we've been so aggressively launching new products. This is the first time that we've gotten a loan to help out with those product launches.
So you spend all your money and then you start spending other people's money and that's a sign of success.
But apparently so. Yeah. Yeah.
So, because we used to give an award out at Reliable and when they hit 100,000 a month or $1 million a year, because at that point you can probably afford a wage. Whereas most people think, oh my God, I'm retired at the now. But actually in a product-based business, I mean, I'm telling you with 100,000 SKUs, but you get the point. Like the bigger you grow as a business, the more in this business that you're in, it's inventory. So it's consistently, if you take money out to pay yourself to rent a Porsche or buy a Porsche, that's money that's not compounding for you. So it's a really interesting journey and Eric's point's really valid. That it's quite often you'll see founders that have got $2-3 million a year businesses and are just pulling a basic wage now. Mm-hmm. We had Veronica here from Chief Bars. Is it Veronica?
Yep.
Yeah, from Chief Bars. And she's got like a $10 million a year business and she has a second job still. Mm. Not even kidding, because she gave all of her money into inventory. She's a little beast, right? A little weapon.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm not too proud. I'm here to get rich. Same as you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be rich, and the more money I leave in the business, the sooner I'm going to get my big paycheck.
Yeah.
So I work a part-time job as well. Unbelievable.
When you mention a loan, are you speaking more along the lines of like inventory finance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you unpack that a little bit for people that don't know what inventory finance is?
So basically, when it comes to all of this, I just want to say that this is definitely not my area in the business. This is Chris and Eric Fallover from my understanding. So in terms of what we got to a point where we've launched all these products, we're going into Q4. We need more of that product because we know people are shopping. And obviously Q4, your sales are going through the roof. We've just had Black Friday. It's Christmas time. We know that we're going to sell more. And we usually, when we get that profit from sales, we reinvest that and buy more product. So we got to the point where, okay, we're still doing that, but we need to buy more to make sure that we meet demand, okay? We don't want to run out of stock. Running out of stock is a good problem, but it's still a problem. And quite frankly, we're over that problem now. That's where we are. So we had to, we needed more money so we could buy that inventory to sell. And when we get that money back from our inventory, we start paying that loan off. So it's just for that inventory. It's not for to pay us or to buy this or anything like that we can spend anywhere. That money is specifically used to pay our suppliers so we can get more stock in Amazon's warehouses.
So basically, yeah, I use inventory finance with NAB for one of my businesses, and you basically give them the invoice, the finance company, they pay your supplier, and then you've got a period of time to pay them back. That's it in a nutshell, right?
Yeah,
we found it was actually quite like the banks wouldn't talk to us. They didn't like talking to us, but we found our most recent loan, they actually came to us and they're like, oh, we've seen your brand. Like they did the research. Oh, we've listened to, you know, your podcast, your information, things like that. We're happy to give you financing and with nothing. Like it was amazing.
What's it? Do you remember? Was it Scottish Pacific or?
Wade? Wayfair.
Wayfair.
Yeah, so they're actually quite good.
Yeah, so they've been a breeze. They've been great too. And they just gave that money into our account and then we could.
Wow. And they reached out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Like I've used Amazon Finance. There's Shopify, I think, have finance.
We've used that as well, yeah.
Yeah. And it can make such a difference. Like in my e-com business, we've now got 2-month terms on when the supplier gives us an invoice. We've got 2 months to pay it. This is from the time it leaves their factory. Got 2 months to pay it, but then we use trade finance for 6 months. So we've got 8 months before we have to pay for the goods. And of course, we can sell the goods. And I don't know what you guys pay, but a 6-month term is 5%. So it's 10% annualized, but we only have it for 6 months. So we basically, let's say it's 100 grand, we've got to pay 105 back in 6 months after we take it, which is 8 months after it left the factory. So it can unlock enormous amount of growth by using inventory finance. So it's a great tool.
Yeah, definitely. But again, we've only just tapped into that. That's been a new thing on our radar.
Good for you. So how, just out of interest, your Black Friday, Christmas, well, Black Friday, how did you go in November? Big sales?
Yeah, so always. I will look at my phone.
Look at your notes because I know you guys prepped this.
So I did prep this. And I want to, should I do global and Australia? Just so I can see the list. So we'll do the, for Australia, so the last 7 days, just Amazon Australia specifically, we've done 40K.
Yep.
And we're about to, in the next, for our 30-day period, we should be hitting just over 100K in Australia. By
now.
So Amazon Australia is where it's at, people.
I'd love it. So 100 grand for the month just in Amazon Australia and worldwide?
And worldwide, so this includes Amazon. So we've done 120 in the last 7 days.
Yes.
And then 30 days, 320.
For the month?
For the month.
Amazing.
That's a lot of shrinkage in Australia, man, in those ice
bags. Yeah, that's right. Is it Aussie dollars or US dollars?
It's Australian dollars.
Australian dollars, 320.
That's unreal.
And it's 2 years old.
Not even yet.
Not even.
Not its birthday yet.
I'll look at you.
I do a fried. Yeah. I look at Amazon Australia and it's true. Eh? It's a bit of a dark horse because you got these, you know, large companies. We all got this infatuation of launching in the US, right? US, they got 350 million people, whatever it is. And they're the true consumer. But I think probably, like you said before, a lot of people would be overlooking Australia going, if I'm already in the US, who cares about these 25 million people across the world? I'll just keep concentrating on the US or going to Europe as an example. Like if I'm in the US, I'm going to Europe before I'm going to Australia. So I think it's, yeah, the competitive advantage that you guys would have, I can see that very clearly. I'm not a big Amazon shopper myself, but when I do go and I have been on Amazon Australia, you can see how far behind it still is. So if you're doing amazing things like what you guys are, your competitive advantage is just on another level.
You've got to understand that the Australian market, like, yes, you look at the US market, you go 320 or 340 million people, but you've also got to divide it by the number of sellers that you're competing against in those bigger markets. So it's kind of like in Australia, how many sophisticated sellers are there versus in the US? And I can tell you right now, it's not even close.
No.
And so, and I just want to, for the people who still haven't, the penny hasn't dropped, what you're actually doing is paying an invoice from a factory in China who sends it directly to Amazon's warehouses in Sydney, Melbourne, wherever. You're not actually touching a product. You don't rent a single warehouse. You can live from anywhere in the world. And out of the last 24 months, you've been away for 12 of them because you don't have a warehouse. You don't have any staff at picking and packing and boxing. All you're doing is building the brand, running the ads, and you can be anywhere in the world to do it.
That's correct.
And that's the bit. Right, as well as the fact that a good deal of your revenue is in USD. So that's also very nice on a 66 cents exchange rate. And now, of course, I've done this for a long time and I know, but it is still an amazing business model. So what's the plans from here with that brand? And then I'm going to talk about what you're doing today because you're now helping others who want to get into the Amazon space and helping specifically on that journey. So what's the plan with Prodigy X? So you're at, I'm guessing, $3 or $4 million a year now, which is kind of this middle ground where you're stuck between $1 million and $10 million. It's that, I think we spoke about it at the coffee shop and I said, you're sort of in that squeeze zone.
Yeah.
Where it's like full on at that point, but you're having to onboard and up level everything, but you don't really get the payoff for that until you push through and up to those high levels. So how does it feel right now? What's the plan? Where are you going?
Yeah, so always starting, and I think you taught us this, Adam, is that you always start a business to sell a business. So Eric's already sold an Amazon business before, so we have some experience of what that's like. And I just want to say that that's actually one of the massive things that I love about an Amazon FBA business specifically for e-com and in terms of the other e-com businesses available is that you actually, like, it's like real and tangible. It's not like a fluffy thing that you don't own, but you own something, like, I don't know, like it's actually a real thing and that, you know, you're attached to, and then you can sell to someone to make that more money. Like, I want to emphasize on that point because people don't realize, like, what are you selling? It's like, it's a business. Pretend Prodigy X is like Nike. Like, that's what you have the potential to create, and then you can sell it. So we have been, as said, we had a conversation in the coffee shop, and that we're in this zone of like, okay, if we want to go to 10 million, we can't do what we've already done because we have to do something different to reach those heights. So yeah, we are in that middle bit right now. We're kind of waiting into Q4 finishes, and we have our second birthday, and we are thinking of like, okay, where are we at that point? What's our business looking at? What's our life looking at? Even getting appraisal, does that sound like or look like something that we're interested in, and then making a decision from there. So at the moment, we're just growing. That's what we're doing. We're just, taking one step at a time. There's nothing, maintaining nothing. Everything is just growing and moving forward. And then come February, come March, we'll definitely look at where are we. If we want to take it, if we personally want to take it to the next level, what changes need to happen? And that's probably having a team, and we do have two other team members as well, but it has to branch outside of that because right now seven products in four different marketplaces, that's a lot of stuff to keep an eye on, making sure that it's...
Is there more people in the business apart from the three of you?
Yeah, so we have two team members and they are contractors.
So there's the three of you and two team members doing millions of dollars a year after 2 years. Yeah. So it's an interesting one, right? It does beg the question, like, how much further can you guys take that?
Yeah.
Because that's so early in a business. So it's certainly exciting. Let's talk now about how you're helping others. And you are selling a course and some mentorship, is that right?
That's right.
Today. And for listeners of Unemployable, if you want to go check it out, you can go to Conquer Amazon. So conquer.amazon.com/unemployable. And there is a $1,000 discount for your services there.
That's right.
Products or services there. So go over and go to conqueramazon.com/unemployable. Firstly, thank you for extending that to our listeners. If you are listening to this, education is the best returning investment that's available. I have promoted Amazon courses, as many of you know, but for those of you that are new to me, I spent 6 years building an Amazon education business and watched Eric and his sister and hundreds of others build multi-million dollar businesses. In total, our students did $3 billion in sales. So to be sitting here with you guys now carrying on the torch is a really cool moment. And I can hand on heart say that if you're going to learn from anyone, learn from these guys, because they're doing it. It's not a conceptual, they're not standing in front of Lamborghinis, because, you know, whoever lied in front of a Lamborghini, right? And there's a lot of guys out there that do it the other way around. And people tried to copy me when I sold the Amazon courses, and they were like, oh, we're going to go in the Amazon course selling business. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't copy the 5 years of work I did of actually building an Amazon business. Why were you successful selling the courses? Because I actually did it. You guys have followed the same path where you've only now come into education, but this is your second Amazon business and you've made millions of dollars across both brands. So I can't recommend these guys highly enough. Find teachers who are actually doing it now, which is what these guys are doing. So tell us about Conquer Amazon. Why did you start it? What's the mission over there? What can people learn from you and how?
Yeah, I just want to take a moment of like just having a personal moment with my brother and I here over saying that you're passing over the torch, because it's come full circle. And like who when people say like, what's your 5 year plan? Like, where do you see yourself 5 years? I definitely didn't see myself 5 years ago watching Adam show a cake topper, being like, oh, I'll be on his podcast. And now he's, you know, we're selling courses together on Amazon FBA. Like it's crazy. And if, you know, it's just, it shows the power of just like taking that one step and seeing where life takes you. So I think it's just a really, I'm having a personal moment on the podcast. I'll share it with you. That's all. But yes, we have our Conquer Amazon Academy. And the goal of the Conquer Amazon Academy is that myself, Chris and Eric, we're all the mentors there, we'll help you, we'll teach you to launch a profitable product on Amazon Australia in 90 days. That's what our claim is. So we have created a step-by-step process. There's 15 modules and it's all via video. We're going to teach you exactly how to, go through, find a product, talk to your supplier, optimize Amazon, launch everything there is to know about the Amazon business model. We teach it in there with you. That's number one. Number two, we've created a bundle. So obviously, as soon as you launch on Amazon Australia, what do? Usually courses just like drop you off and you're like, oh, you've launched, like, see you later, best of luck. So we've given you the Conquer Advanced Program. So the Conquer Advanced Program is that once you're making sales, you can actually manage your business, grow your business and scale your business. So that's the second bit. And then thirdly, we obviously know that you have questions along the way. So we have three levels of support, if you like. The first one being a student-only community. We're there to chat. Students are there to chat. Second one is we have a monthly Q&A. It's like a Zoom call. So we have one every month. Our last one for this year is tomorrow evening. So that's exciting. But we just get to chat. Sometimes we teach a specific thing, but it's basically you get the opportunity to talk to us, and we give live updates of what's happening in our business, and so do students. So it's cool to be in that community, because you know, you are the average of the five people that you hang around with. If you're not hanging around other entrepreneurs, it can be very difficult. We understand that. So that's another element of having that live session. And then thirdly, you get a one-on-one call with me. So at any point, whether you're doing your product research or you've launched, we come on and speak to your to the business. So that's what we offer you. We offer the Conquer Academy, the Advanced Program, and our trifecta, our support trifecta. And it's working. Like, we obviously are selling on Amazon Australia. We only push for Amazon Australia in the Academy, because that's where we like think the opportunity is. And it's not just us, you know, being thriving on Amazon Australia. Our students are amazing. Like, I love it. Like, when students are launching, they send us their listing and we audit it for them. And like, the quality of work is so impressive. Like, I'm like, thank you. You've actually followed the steps. All you need to do is follow the steps. Like, people,
it's so rewarding.
Yeah. They overcomplicate it. Just follow the steps. Like, watch the video, do the homework. Like, that's literally what it is. And one of our students we were talking to yesterday, and I like this story because his name is Troy. And when we were in Thailand for our honeymoon, he messaged us and he was like, I'm in Thailand too. Look at this. We're both on holidays making money. And he showed us a screenshot of his sales. And he was making $2,000 a week for that week and he was in Thailand and he was absolutely thrilled because that's an awesome achievement. Like, you're in Thailand, you're making sales. This was in July. We spoke to him yesterday. He's just surpassed $36,000 in 30 days on Amazon Australia.
Amazing.
And he's an engineer in Melbourne.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're going to do a journey like this, guys, doing it alone is the worst idea in the world. It's just not worth it. It's so much easier and better to get into a community of people that are doing it together. I like how it's 90 days so that you start and at the end of the 90 days, you're going to have a product live on Amazon, which is amazing. And I love the fact you can do it now. Feasibly, you can actually make an income just on Amazon Australia. Because I remember when I was doing courses, for some reason, it never occurred to me, but I was never intimidated about shipping stuff to America from China versus to Australia from China. I was just like, same, same. I'm not going to see the product anyway. It's just going to go wherever I put the label on the box. But a lot of people really were like, oh, I don't know about that. I've got to ship it to America. So it's really cool that it's viable now here in Australia. And what better course is there when you've got three of you? You know, like you've got the female point of view and then you've got Eric and different things like that. So you got all three of you, a plumber, a physio, and a personal trainer originally.
Ex-PE teacher.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So you got these three normal people that have come from different careers and you can really, you bring a broad empathy and background to it, which I think is really cool. Is there any questions you had, Eric?
We're just about ready. Similar to, you know, what we do with the unemployable. It's being in the trenches is so important, right? And you get a different level of respect, I think, from people as well. And they look at you a lot differently because it's all good saying, I've done this or I've done that and now I'm going to teach. But when you're teaching in real life, because you're dealing with the same issues that they're going to be dealing with, just at a different scale.
Yeah.
And the best part about that is wait until you have clients that start doing bigger numbers than you.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most rewarding part, right? Is when you start seeing people surpassing you and what they're doing. That's when you know that you're teaching, what you're teaching is really, really amazing, you know? I remember with reliable days and some of the numbers that people were doing was unbelievable.
I go to the street and get up doing $25 million
a year. Wow.
And I'm like, dude, you should be the teacher, you know? Like, but that's really the sign of an accomplishment. Seeing you guys, like seeing what you guys have built was a proud moment, and that ripple effect will continue on. But guys, if you want to learn with these guys, go to conqueramazon.com/unemployable. What final messages do you have, Veronica, for, I want to get you to speak particularly to the women out there, because we do get a lot of feedback from women, especially when there's a woman on the pod, just saying, thank you for having a lady on there, because stuff like what you were talking about with the difference in cycles and the difference with, you know, living in a man's world, you know, women suffer often from imposter syndrome. Like you were quite confident saying, I want to be rich and that's that. Whereas a lot of women would never say that, although they feel it. Like they, you know, so what advice do you have for a young woman sitting there going, I'm smart, like what you were thinking, I'm smart. How come everybody else got money? I'm not. What would you say to her?
Yeah. I think that's because society doesn't know what to do with a successful woman in business, let alone if she's loud about it. And if you're mentoring, you need to be loud about it so people know. So society just, not even like particular groups of people, it's more so like frequency again, they're not ready for it yet, but it's coming out. But for the women out there that are thinking of wanting, you know, whatever your goal is, filthy rich, I know that my next season in my life will be motherhood, and I'm very grateful already that I know that I'll be whatever I want motherhood to look like in terms of being with my kids or having assistance or, you know, childcare things. I know that I can choose based on what I want, not because I'm forced to go back to work or I feel that I'm like left behind in my career or the corporate world or anything. And I really enjoy that Chris can be a present father as well, because I know that that's something that he's really looking forward to. So the freedom that Amazon FBA can give you is amazing. And if you want that freedom, my only advice for you is to just take that one step. And the beautiful thing with Amazon is that you don't have to be loud at all. Like Amazon FBA, I have a girlfriend, she's a mother of two. She just sold her Amazon business and we caught up for coffee. She's like, yeah, I just bought my new Mercedes. And she's like, my friends don't even know what I do. Like her friends, like we've bonded over the fact that we are in Amazon FBA. Her friends that she went to high school with don't even know what she'd do, but she just sold a business, bought herself a new Mercedes. And I'm like, what else do you got? She's like, I think I want to get a jet ski. Like, you don't have to be loud about Amazon FBA. So if you've got people around you that are like judging you or putting you down, or you're worried about what people think, and because we do, we get criticized enough, let alone, oh, how dare you start a business? And you just have a child. Like, a lot of that, I haven't experienced that, but I've seen that around me. And I think that's a lot of women are held back for that. With Amazon, you can do it at home, it's self-paced, online, like lock yourself up and, you know, just achieve those goals quietly. And if you need support, then you come to our mentor and I'm cheering you on, gal.
A lot of women hearing that right now are going to love what you just said.
What we need to do though, I think even more, is those women that don't know what she does need to ask. They need to be confident enough to ask, hey, what do you actually do? Because it could change their lives as well. And I think that's part of the problem is exactly that imposter syndrome is, yes, you can sit there quietly and do things, right? And a lot of people are in that headspace and in that mode. But I think what we need to start doing better as a society is giving the confidence to those other women or those other men to say, hey, what do you actually do? Like, how did you just buy that Mercedes? Or how did you just go to Bali for 6 months and work? Because a lot of people, I think, are scared to ask that actual question. And I think that's where the root of the problem comes from.
Take a leaf out of Jonah Hill's script in Wolf of Wall Street, where he says to Leo's character, what did you do to get that Jaguar in the car? You make $100,000 a month, I'll quit right now.
Yeah. Exactly right.
He's like, and then he sure enough quits right away. Yeah, just leave out the part about going to the bathroom and smoking.
Yeah, that's him, right. And taking Quaaludes.
Guys, that's another episode of Unemployable. Veronica, thank you so much for coming in. It's been lovely to have some female energy on the pod again. A little different perspective from your brother who's here as well. But we wish you every success with what you're doing with the brand and with your teaching. We feel very fortunate to have you on. And I think the students that are working with you are really blessed to have you guys as teachers and cheerleaders for them. So thanks for being here. If you are interested in this, go to conqueramazon.com/unemployable. Is there anywhere else they can follow you? Do you have a socials or anything you're trying to build?
Yes, I have my personal social media. So Veronica Poniatowski, if you see my name written down, it's at Veronica Poniatowski.
Okay, so do you want to spell that? I was going to say, I hope it's spelled your name, but what is it?
Eric and I were just discussing. We're like, we think we need to shorten like our handles, like Veronica Amazon or something. I probably will, but right now it's Veronica Poniatowski. So Veronica, V-E-R-O-I-N-I-C-A, and Poniatowski, P-O-N-I-A-T-O-W-S-K-I.
Okay. There you go. Good luck with it. I'm sure there is. All right. So Veronica, thank you for coming in. Eric, thanks for being here as well, mate. And keep us posted as always with your journey. And next time you come back, I'd love to hear, bring some students, bring one or two students who've broken through and let's hear their stories as well. We'd love to or send some students instead of their journey and how they found you guys and that would be a beautiful moment as well. Guys, thanks for watching this episode of Unemployable. We'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
Hey there, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.